If you would turn in your Bible to the book of Joshua and chapter 7. Joshua and chapter 7. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer, and our God and Father, your day, your time, for your purpose. We've opened thy word again, and God, Spirit of God, honor that which you have in mind, outwork it in our lives, and here we are to receive. Help us to be good receivers, that we might have all of the benefits that you have in mind as we go down the corridor of time. And God will thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our exercise of late, remember, we're looking at the believing heart, and the believing heart is to represent God's wonderful person. And God's wonderful person is to be presented to the world. Not our person, but his person. How can that be? Because God created us in his image and likeness. And God died for us. So when we receive him as our Savior, God wants to demonstrate, A, he's the Creator, B, he's the Savior, and B, he is the solution to a world lost in darkness and sin. He wants to demonstrate that. So therefore, God is going to demonstrate his wonderfulness in the human heart. Israel, we took as an example, Israel, taking us back here and then Israel. Here we are on planet Earth, and we live in the world dark and dead, evil, has no good, has no place for God. But God leaves the believing heart in the world system in order to demonstrate, as what we just shared, his saving grace. So, in doing that, he's going to what? Help us. What are we going to do? In a world, in the old fleshly nature, we have that. And in the process, we shared it this morning, to remember you have it again. Simple illustration, but not often understood in a practical way. I need to understand my heart, and God saves me. God saves me in a wonderful way. I got a problem. I need to be saved. I'm the same person, but I get receive the Lord as my Savior. When I receive the Lord as my Savior, God saves me. I'm still me, but I have a unique relationship to God, God in Christ in my heart. So God in me. So I got an old nature, it's always there. So therefore, discouragement, disappointment, depression, and all the other words that make up our language to describe our condition, etc. We have them. Now, God, you meant us to have a wonderful victory in the process. So therefore, we took Israel to be an example, which God has given it, in order that we might learn from them. And so here is Israel. They are given, they are God's prized, privileged nation, Exodus 19, and they are God's nation to the world. And being God's nation, they are to be, and they're told, they are above, chosen above all nations to demonstrate God's wonderfulness. So we aren't looking for Israel to be having problems. We're looking for Israel to be having successes. Israel is to have has a wonderful provision, a wonderful provider for provision. Now, having said that, Israel has that. And so they, in the wilderness, finally they cross the Jordan. And God tells them that they're going to go and have a wonderful, wonderful way, a new whole, Joshua chapter 3, a whole new way of walking and winning. So the Jordan River is opened up, 25 miles, and they cross the dry ground, and they cross on dry ground, and they put 12 stones in Gilgal, on the river in Gilgal. They put 12 stones to remind them how they got there. They didn't get there by anything they did, deserved, merited. No, they got there because God's grace, and God did it. That's how they got across the Jordan. How are they going to go and win? Because God's going to do it. God is going to be their God, not Baal or Zeus or somebody else. God is going to be their God, the only God. And he's going to demonstrate that he is the only God. And therefore, as they go, you remember as we did that in chapter two, you're right next to it. And I won't read it again for time's sake. I may read it a little. In chapter three, remember, God's going to go and do a wonderful thing. And in the process, in chapter two, etc., Rahab is going to tell them the whole camp of the whole city of Jericho, all of the people of the land are very, very fearsome. They already know you're a winner. They already know God is nothing like their gods. And they have been convinced by the Red Sea and by the Jordan River. They have been convinced that God is God, and there's no way on earth that they can compete and go against God and come out good. It ain't going to work. So they know that. And they're told that. They've already won the battle. They're winners. And as Joshua stands in chapter 5, remember, Joshua is before the captain of our Lord Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate Christ. There, the Lord, captain of the host. And he does what? He sees what? He has a sword drawn. He's going to win. Now, having going down, you remember what Joshua did in chapter 5. Joshua had to go, and he had to fall down to the ground because he discovered and was reminded that he stood on holy ground. We did all of this. He stood on holy ground. What do you do when you're on holy ground before a holy God like Moses in Exodus 3? You fall down and you honor God. You worship God. You acknowledge God's awesome person. But when it comes to the enemy, the land, every place that the sole of your foot has tread, I've already given it to you. So therefore, it's holy ground. And you don't go and bow down before the enemy. You stand up before the enemy, and you defeat the enemy. The enemy doesn't win. You win. You win. And that's what it's supposed to be. When before God, you fall down, you worship. Before the enemy, you stand up and be able to stand firm, using New Testament, Ephesians 6, the whole armor of God. That's what you're doing. Now, having said that, so in chapter 7, remember, the point where we're going is the process. Israel defeats Jericho in a most awesome way. And they do so. And the whole event is beyond understanding apart from God. How could all the walls, both walls fall flat? Flat enough that you could just walk across them. Not a big pile, you got to climb the rocks. No, you didn't have to climb anything. You just walk across. That takes a little bit of doing to knock walls down and have that. Now, so here they are, and they cry and have all of that wonderful victory. And they did, they had to do what God said, and they did all of it, as you know, in chapter 6. Now in chapter 7, here's the next battle, 13 miles away. There's the city of Ai. There it is up there. It isn't as big, Jericho, but there it is. And there it is. So we're going to go and take it. And you remember in chapter 7, of Jericho, chapter 7 of Joshua, that they say, remember in chapter 7, in verse 3, etc. There's only a few, look what we did to Jericho with all of our 600,000. This is some in. So we didn't have to do anything. So what do we need to do with Ai? All we got to do is go. Just send a couple of thousand of us. We'll go up and keep, let the rest rest, R-E-S-T. Let the rest of them rest and stay home. With just a couple of thousand go up. And you know what happened. They lost the battle. They lost. The winners became losers. And the losers are not to be, the winners are not to be losers. They're losers. Losing doesn't represent God. It represents His mercy and His grace to us, but it doesn't represent God's awesome person and His saving grace in its fullness. It doesn't do that. So God, here we are. They lose. And therefore we did those things. So when we come over to chapter 7, picking up as we did in chapter 7, up in verse, Joshua is all upset. And remember, he says in chapter 7, verse 7, "And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites and to the destroyer and to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt in the other side of Jordan in the wilderness. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turned their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ them." In other words, be encouraged. And surrounding, shall be getting all up, caught up in surrounding, shall environ us around, surround us, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? In other words, God, here we are, and we lost, and everyone's going to be looking. Jericho was one thing, Jordan's another. But here we are, here's a bunch of the men in the city of Ai, and they make all our men run away scared, and we lose 36 of them that die. Now, God, how are we going to keep going? And you know the enemy, chariots, giants, armies. How are we going to ever go and take the land of Israel? We're going to get clobbered. God, what are we going to do? And he falls down to the ground, understandably. It's an awesome experience. God, we're right in the middle of the battle, and we just started the campaign, and now here we are. We're losers, and we aren't going to win anymore. Now, down on the ground, you remember, in verse 11, "And he said, you have sinned, and the accursed thing was there." Now, verse 11 and 12 in the process, "And we're not going to be able to stand before our enemies." And so God says, listen to Joshua, verse 13. Stand up, sanctify the people, set them apart, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. You've got to fix this. You've got to fix it. What are you going to have to do? The accursed thing. You remember in chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, Achan took of the accursed thing. Chapter 6, verse 18, for remembrance, 6 and 18. "And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed. to separate the curse, to separate from common to uncommon, to separate to and take it so you can't use it anymore, to destroy it. Verse 18, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed, just like the thing is accursed. Even when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Now that's what Achan did. Achan went and took of the accursed thing. They were told to take nothing, not a thing. They're to walk out of there empty-handed, not empty-hearted, empty-handed. And they were to go out victorious. But they have taken the accursed thing. And Joshua, get up off the ground. You aren't supposed to be a loser. You're a winner. So Joshua, why aren't you winning since you're a winner? And you ask yourself that as a believer. Why aren't I? What is it? Why am I discouraged? Use it. Why am I discouraged? Why am I disappointed? Why am I depressed? Use them. You've got a whole pile of them. Why? Why? Why is this happening? That's what Joshua. Why? And God, I need to look, because I'm not supposed to be in that place. I have lots of things to be disappointed about, but I'm not to be disappointed. I have lots of things to be discouraged about, but I'm not supposed to be discouraged. I could be depressed, pressed down. If you get depressed, you don't. You can't. It's against my relationship to God. God isn't depressed. And God isn't disappointed, and God isn't discouraged, and God doesn't have a problem with anything, anywhere, in all of forever. So, am I looking to God or am I not? And if I'm looking to God, he's going to be and do and be to me God. Now, having said that, so Joshua has to go, and the accursed thing has to be found and taken care of. And so the ground is holy. You remember now, they should have gone. They didn't go. I should fill this in. Why are they? Why did they lose? A, they assumed. They assumed that what they would do to Ai, they could do it. They had a problem. Square one, Exodus 19:8. What was that? God said, you're a special, prized, privileged nation. And they said, verse 8, well, thank you, God. Thank you, we're a prized, privileged nation. And thank you very much. And all that you say, God, we'll do it. We'll do it, God. That's why the law came in. Because they can't do it. And they had to learn that. But that problem, we can do it, is going to haunt them. It still haunts them. We can do it, God. So what are they doing? Instead of going and looking to God when it comes to the battle of Ai, instead of looking to God to see how to do that, how does God want to fight that battle? How does God want us to go? They didn't do it. They didn't go to Gilgal, the headquarters. They didn't go and see the 12 stones and remind themselves God has to do it. They didn't see the stones. They didn't see the temple. See the Gilgal. They didn't go to God. They didn't do it. And they assumed. What did they assume? We only need 2,000 or 3,000 men and we can do it. What were you doing? God, you want us to take the land? Get out of the way. We'll do it. We'll do it. We'll show you how we're going to do it, God. All that you say, God, we're going to do it. That's what they did. And they proceeded. Now that's the wrong way to go, but that's the way they went. And down they went. Down they went. They made a terrible mistake. They forgot God. They forgot God and his grace. And he was the one that made it all possible. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, just to remind yourself, hold your finger here and go over to Psalm 44, just to remind you, all kinds of places, but here's one of them. And Psalm 44, picking up, if I may, you'll catch it. It's all, you'll see it several times. God mentions it in Israel's history. You just didn't follow instructions. Chapter 44, Psalm 44, verse 1. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us, what work thou didst, what God did in their days and in our time. In other words, they knew God did it, looking back. Verse 2. How thou, God, didst drive out the heathen from thy land, thy hand, and plantest them. How thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. Verse 3. 4. They got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm, and the light in the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst favor unto them. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverances for Israel. Wow. For Jacob. Now, having said that, they knew God had to be doing it, but they were going to do it themselves. Always going to do it themselves. That's what they're going to do. You never get over that. I'll take care of it. I understand it. I understand what you're saying. I'm going to go and put it together. That's what we're going to do, right? When we're all done, I understand where we are, including me. I understand what I read. Isn't that wonderful? I'm going home. I understand it, God. Thank you. Right? And what's the next thing you want me to know? See? And I didn't understand. God said, if you understood, you better be looking to me. Every time you look at this book, you end up looking at me, God said. You're always going to find me. You're always going to have to see, make sure you see me, because that's how you win. You can't take that book. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And walk out the door and do one blessed thing with it. Can you? You can memorize it, rewrite it in 10 languages. You can't make it live. Only God can make it live. Only God must be the shepherd of the sheep. You can't make him the shepherd. You can't dream him the shepherd. He is the shepherd, and you need to be yielded, submissive to his wonderful person. Israel failed to do all of that. It's their problem today. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, back over to Joshua chapter 7. And remember, they were to sanctify themselves and set themselves apart. And remember when we did all that, what did they do? They had to recognize mentally and physically, they had to line up their mind and their heart that they were on holy ground. Sanctify, set apart, consecrate, holy. It's holy ground. Make sure you're coming to God now. You're not going to go to I. You just flunked out there. You're going to go, Joshua, get the people lined up. I'm going to talk to them. When I talk to them, they better be in right mind and heart, because I'm going to fix this. So they need to be on holy ground. Sanctify. And we did all of that. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And we did all of that in the light of the New Testament, because that's what we're supposed to do. We are sanctified. We ought to be sanctified. Holy people, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's what to be. Now, having said that, here's Joshua chapter 7. And in the process, God's going to go in a most wonderful way. And they're going to go and they're going to learn. And God's going to go and tell them, as picking up in verse they got to go. The end of verse 13, thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among yourselves. You've got to take away the accursed thing from among yourselves. Verse 14, and in the morning, therefore, you should be brought according to your tribes. It shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh, and the word take is going to be found several times, which the Lord takes, chooses, takes out there. The Lord takes, verse 14, in the morning, therefore, that you shall be brought according to their tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by their households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come by their man. So what are you going to do, God? I'm going to go. And they're all going to line up. Here they are lined up in front of them, as they were. Here's the 12 tribes. And God said, they all are all sanctified, washed, ready. Like at Mount Sinai, we're in the presence of God, and we're in church, act like you're in church. You're not in the barn. You're not in a ball game. Act like you're in church. Act like you're before God. Be sensitive, you're before God. Now, so here we are going, and in the process, as they're going to be sanctified and set apart, and God's going to take them. Here's the 12 tribes, and God's going to take a tribe. He's going to take a tribe with all the families made up in each tribe, and then he's going to take a family out of that tribe, and then he's going to take a family out of that tribe, and then that family is made up of all kinds of families, households within it, and then God's going to take that family and line them up, and each household's going to come walking up, not walking necessarily, but going to come, and here's that whole household, and here's all the families, and God's going to find, and God's going to help them. I'm going to tell you which family, which household, which man. I'm going to point them out. So you all understand. Everyone's looking. Which one took the accursed thing? Why? What is God talking about? And there's Achan. Now, and picking up, so you see it a little bit in Joshua chapter 7. So Joshua arose up early. I got to read verse 15. Let me read it after. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe and the tribe of Judah was taken. Tribe of Judah was the chosen one, and he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarites, and he brought the family of the Zarites of the family man by man, each person. They walk in. God's going to point them out to you. So each person's going to go, man by man. And Zardi was taken. Verse 18. And he brought his household, man by man. And Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebdi, the son of Zara, of the tribe of Judah was taken. And now, having said that, now you got to go to verse 15. What are we going to do with this person? And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath. Because why? He hath transgressed, overstepped, went beyond. He transgressed the covenant of the Lord. And because he hath brought folly, wickedness in Israel. He took of the accursed thing. Now that's, so here's the man, and here's Achan. Achan is pointed out. Now what would you do? Here's all of Israel, 2.5 million or so people. and there, and whatever. And here they are. Wow. And here comes a man. The man. Was that God singles him out just like that? One man. One man did it. God said, I told you, don't take of the accursed thing. I told you, the glass has a lot of water, but I don't want you to put one drop of poison in it. Don't put one drop. Then you can't drink it. But there's a lot of water. It's only one drop. No, I can't. I will not allow. That's why you're saved in God's wonderful way. If you had one sin that Christ didn't cover in his cleansing blood, you couldn't get to heaven. One lousy little thought, word, you couldn't get there. You have to be 1,000,000,000% clean, and clean you will be. Now, hang on. Now, having said that, so here's Achan. Achan is in trouble. So, now what do we know? Here we are looking, and God, you pointed him out, and Achan is going to go, and he doesn't fight Joshua. It's the wrong time. The wrong time. Achan just understood. He understood. My thought would be, if I was Achan back then, I would tell Achan, I said, well, listen, why do you wait for this big event where God's going to do this? Why don't you just dig up the stuff in your tent, the gold, the silver, and the robe, and bring all of that to Joshua and take it to Joshua and get it out of the way. Save it. Why not see what God might do to help you? But he didn't do that. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, why didn't you confess the dumb sin? It was wrong. I don't see it's wrong. That's an argument with God. It is wrong. I don't see it's wrong. What happens to your fellowship? Out the door. One lousy sin. God, what I'm doing is good. You do what you want. That's what I'm going to do. One little sin. Why didn't we bring it to God before all we have to go through? Why do we have to go through everything? Why don't we bring it to God? But Achan didn't do that. So therefore, quickly and moving, if I can, over, if you would, to Mark. Mark and chapter 14. An illustration. Mark chapter 14. And you will note, if I may, this is in the upper room before they go out. Christ goes out to be crucified. In the upper room, Judas is there, etc. Now, chapter 14, verse 17. Verse 17. And in the evening he cometh with his disciples, with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you, which eateth with me, shall betray me. One of you going to turn me in to the enemy out there. Before I get out of this place, you're going to go and do it. Now, and we all look at each other. Here's the 12 of us looking at each other. Wow, looking at each other. And what do we know? We all know our human nature. We all know our relationship to God isn't where it could be or should be. Therefore, each one of us say, including Judas, as it were. Verse 19, and they began to be sorrowful, and to say unto him, one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? Am I the one? Peter said, am I the one? Thomas said, am I the one? Luke said, am I the one? Not Luke. Each one said, am I the one? That's our heart in the light. If we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. We deceive ourselves. In the light, I know I could do that. I know I have my sin nature. I know that. I'm not stupid about it. Could I do that? Yes. Yes. They want to know, is it I? Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, because you know the heart, like in Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, incurable. Your heart is deceitful. You cannot fix the heart. It has to be crucified. God has to die for the sin of the world in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, so therefore, applying it in the light of the title, scanned. Now, if you and I were to go, and we're all subject to gravity. We're all subject to gravity. We can't jump up in the air and fly. We can't do that. So what do? If we want to be able to fly, get to go and go in the air, we have to go to the airport, and we go to the airport, and we have to be scanned. That's what we have to do, and they're going to check us or whatever, off of whatever it is, and if we pass the test, they'll let us board the plane. The plane's the only way to overcome gravity, the aerodynamics. It's the only way to do it. Now, God, you can't do it because the aerodynamics, the plane has to overcome resistance, pressure, all those different things. The plane has to overcome it. It's made to overcome. It doesn't make gravity go away. It overcomes it. God, what are you going to do? So I can't get on the plane and enjoy the aerodynamic dimension experience unless I can pass the test. I've got to get through the test. I've got to be scanned. I do. Now, do it a different way, if I can. Use that part first. Over to Psalm 139. And you would know. Now here's David, good old David. Psalm 139. And you will note, if I may, picking up, Psalm 139, verse 1. David, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. You have scanned me, God. You have searched me out. You search me and know me. That's right. They know. And they have these machines now. You just hold you up or whatever. And they look at everything, everywhere, and every part. And what do they tell you? You know, you have metallic bones or something. And there you go. Get scanned. Wow. God, you know me. That's why the 12 disciples say, is it I? Am I the one? I can do it, God. I could betray you like Judas. Now, having said that, sliding along, search me, and you know the psalm, a wonderful, 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 wonderful. Thou compassest me, my pathway, etc., my lying down, and thou art acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. You know all my thoughts, you know all my words. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. God, I can't even imagine how you can know everything. Verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. The God, there is no way to hide. No place to hide. So when you slide over, God, search me. Search me, verse 23. What's the conclusion, David? God has to search me. What are you doing, Achan? What are you doing with the 12 tribes in chapter 7? God is helping them find the problem. God knows the problem. They don't know the problem. God is helping them understand the problem. I need to look to God for understanding. If I don't understand, I need to get the understanding. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me. God, see, do it. Now, at the end, and if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, God, why am I going to do that? Because, verse 17, 139:17, how precious also, remember we did this the other day in prayer meeting of that, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. God, it's all real. You know everything. You understand everything. Therefore, God, search me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. And God, you got to help me in every way you can to understand, to grow, and to know. Now, so, here's the church age. And we're at the end of the age. Like Israel, Israel didn't do good. The Babylonian captivity eliminated their high position. They became losers. They're going to be winners, but they're losers. The church, which is to be his testimony, is losing. Revelation chapter 3, Laodicea. The church said, the mood, we need nothing, God. God, if we need anything, we'll call you. We got everything at hand. We know how to handle everything. The government, the people, the world, we got it, God. So don't bother us, God. Revelation chapter 3, Laodicea. God said, don't you know you're miserable, blind, poor, blind, naked? I mean, you're in terrible shape, but you don't even know it. No, we don't know it. And it doesn't bother us that we don't know it. Nope, doesn't bother us at all. So God, here we are. Now God, here's Israel. And Israel, and you'll remember now, where else, apart from Achan, and a little bit here and there, where else does God pin them down? Using the biggest picture, here's Jeremiah on what we're doing on Wednesdays. Here's Jeremiah looking at the whole city, the priests, the prophets, the whole ball game, and they all are of the same mind, apart from a few believers. They're all of the same mind. God doesn't search anything out. There's nothing to search out. What are you doing, God? You aren't searching out to find the bad guy? No. What I'm doing is I'm finding the good guy. I'm finding a Jeremiah over here. I'm finding a believing woman over here. I'm going to save them. The rest of it, I leave condemned. The very opposite of winning. The very opposite. No. So God, here's the church, and here we are. Now, God, what are we doing? When do people get searched out? When does anything kind of get made to get straight so everyone is on the same page? Like the piano's being tuned this morning. Everyone's on the same page. You need to be. Be looking at the same God for the same reasons, trusting him, his lordship, his love, his everything, his life. We're looking to God. We need to do that. But no one's being tested like that. Who cares? You won't find it. And he's going to come. Now, God, here we are sitting here. We're trying to learn. We're trying to understand. God, why can't we get this right? God, what am I going to do? God, what am I going to do? It's not what we're going to do. It's what God's going to do. And the difference between Joshua chapter 7, where he finds the problem and solves it for them. He won't do it again that way. No. But he does it to help them understand. the seriousness of being on holy ground. Therefore, here we are looking to God to do a wonderful thing in our head and in our heart now. Over to Ephesians. Let me do it quickly, but you'll see it. Because here we are. We want to know what about us? We're supposed to be winners, and most are losing all the time. So God, we need to be winners. We need to be overcomers. As you told us, to every single church, you say the same thing. You need to be overcomers. To overcome. Overcome what? Being in the human body in the world of darkness and evil. Therefore, sliding over to Ephesians, if I can, Ephesians chapter 5, and you will note, God, what are you going to do? You're going to go, chapter 5, verse 26, that he, God, in Christ, might sanctify, set us apart. Think of Joshua 7. And cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Purpose that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. God's going to present to himself you and me, us, perfectly clean. I don't know how to do it. But why can he do that? Because you just said through the morning, the blood of Jesus Christ what? Cleanses us from all sin. That's why he can do it. That's why he can do it. Why can God do it? Why can God take care of this? God said, because this is true. That's true. I'm going to go. And in a moment, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to get rid of this. And I'm going to give you a clean cup. I'm going to do it. God, we didn't have a meeting. We didn't have an inquisition. We didn't have it. No, we didn't. We didn't. All we did, God, you did it. That's right. Thank you. God, I can't do it. Search me, O God, and know my heart. But I only can know what I know. And the rest of me is all there that needs to be cleansed. And you're going to finish the job. That's right. That's what I'm going to do. First John. And 1 John chapter 3, as you know. And in 1 John chapter 3, picking up, please, in chapter 3, and going to verse 2. Beloved, 1 John 3, 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we should be like him, for we shall see him as he is. God's going to make it, fix us. Fix us, like I just showed you. God's going to take the dirty cup and make it clean, totally clean. Going to do it. Verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth, cleanses himself, even as he, God, is clean. How am I going to do it, God? I'm looking, thankfully, I'm not this anymore. I'm saved. I am this. I'd be silly to say I'm not. But God has saved me. So therefore, God, you're going to go and take care of this. I can't do it, God. Israel said, we'll do that which is right in our own eyes. We'll do it, God. You tell us. But we aren't that stupid anymore. We don't say, we'll do it, God, because we can't do it. And it's right in our own eyes. That we don't want to say. It's all wrong in our own eyes. So we got rid of that problem and fixed it, God, in our little head. But God, you got to take care of this. So God's going to do it. And if you are looking for the change, you're looking for the change. God's going to do it. That's what he's going to do. Thank you. I can't fix this dumb thing. And neither can you. Closing. 1 Corinthians 15. You know, in the years ago, when we worked and stuff, when they were making the electronic window, like you put on the roof and stuff, only they were making the little electrical pads to reflect the sun that go on the satellite, the spaceship, and they made the little thing. And when they make them, when you walk by, you see them making them very carefully. They're all going to put them, they all went on the satellite. That's where they go for power. Now, in the process of that, they're all dressed. You can't go in that room without being covered. Everyone in the room is covered when they work on those. That's what they did. Now, that's a good illustration, but I need a better one. I'm going to go up a notch. Have you ever seen in places where there is need for great germ-killing stuff, where there's a real problem, and when there's a real, really, really, really stuff going on, you have to go in and what? And you have to get washed. You have to get washed. Not just covered. You need to be washed. You have to be sterilized to get into the room. That's what you have to do. You can't, wow, God, what are you doing? How we aren't going to aerodynamics. We aren't interested in overcoming gravity. God, we're going to overcome the world system. That's what we're going to do. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we, who are dirty, we who are dirty, no, sir, I'm not going to be dirty anymore. God's going to go and make me clean. So when I'm clean, that's his plan. What am I waiting for? I'm waiting for that. Chapter 15, 1 Corinthians, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep and die, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the splitting of an atom, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, God, how am I going to get clean? I'm not going to get clean by me. I'm plain old dirty. But God, in his cleansing blood, keeps me until that moment when I shall be clean. And God's going to do it. I can't make it happen. And the system I live in, the church system, has lost its punch, its holiness. But God, you can do it. So the individual believers that are with it are going to be looking for God to change them in the twinkling of an eye that is soon ever appearing. And verse 53, for the corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And recently when we had Sue and that, what was the last thing we said, pretty much? That's what we said. Death is the last enemy to be destroyed. And Sue has beat the odds. And she has beaten death in the ground. She beat death. She wins. God takes her. She's a winner. Every believer is a winner. Not because we're good guys, but because God is gracious and saves us in a most wonderful way. That's what we're looking for. Achan, that's an awesome lesson, and we're going to get a little more about it and having hope. Yeah, but we aren't there. And it isn't going to happen in the church age, at the end of the age, Laodicea. We aren't going to find it. No, God's going to be gracious. Do you know why we're going to be raptured? Because God is finished with us, saving us from the wrath to come, and he's going to begin the tribulation. That's why he's taking you up. It isn't because you're looking and praying and God's going to answer your prayer. God's going to take you up because it's his timing to do so. In his time, we're waiting. He's going to take you up. That's what he's doing. It isn't because we're bitter, or whatever. It isn't because of that. God's doing what he's going to do. That's wonderful. That's our Savior. And Achan, thanks. You're going to pay an awful price, Achan, but thank you for being Achan. We would not have the Achan chapter, Joshua 7. Thank you. I hope you got a little bit. Our Father and God, set apart these moments. God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God, as you search the heart, God, to help us understand, like the disciples, is it I, is it I? It surely could be. But God, in your grace, wow, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.